Can the U.S. be a top exporter again?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. In his State of the Union address last night, President Obama said one key to creating American jobs is boosting exports.
So tonight, we set a new goal. We will double our exports over the next 5 years, an increase that will support 2 million jobs in America.
Exports and trade are big issues this week in Davos, Switzerland, at the World Economic Forum, and we continue our special coverage of that annual meeting. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us live from Davos. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Bo.
What sense are you getting about attitudes toward free trade and globalization at this year's meeting?
Well, historically, of course, Davos has been practically synonymous with free trade, globalization, unfettered free markets. But the global economic crisis and all the abuses it exposed have, to some extent, discredited what we might call the Davos model. And there are more critics of that model here than ever before.
Who are those critics?
Well, interestingly, historically, they've been outside protesting with placards. They've been the losers from globalization. Now you've got more of the dissidents inside the tent. For example, the fast emerging economies of the world, especially China, which feels that its deep-rooted suspicions of the free market, free-for-all, have been vindicated by the crisis. And the Chinese feel their authoritarian approach seem even better now. So what you have here is a growing ideological rift. Ian Bremmer, boss of the Eurasia Consultancy, says there's now a threat to the whole ethos of this annual gathering.
The spirit of Davos implies an underlying agreement on values, on economic values in the World Economic Forum, and that agreement no longer exists.
The starkest example, of course, of that clash of values is between the U.S. and China over issues like free speech and currency manipulation, and these issues will be surfacing at a major seminar here in Davos today.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in Davos, Switzerland. Thank you.
Okay, Bill.
And our special coverage of the World Economic Forum meeting continues later today on Marketplace. Stephen Beard will tell us why even the Swiss are complaining about bankers. Yesterday, the U.S. Federal Reserve said the American economy continues to strengthen. And Asian stock markets snapped a losing streak today. Major markets there gained almost 2%. European shares are up 0.3% this morning. Yesterday, the NASDAQ rose 0.8%. The Dow added 41 points, and it closed at 10,236. The new Apple iPad unveiled yesterday is a tablet computer that costs from $500 to more than $800 for the fancier version. Apple calls it a third device. You buy it after you already have a computer and a smartphone. But Marketplace's Brett Neely asks, is there really a market now for another pricey gadget?
Apple CEO Steve Jobs thinks the iPad sells itself.
It's unbelievably great. Way better than a laptop. Way better than a smartphone.
But the big question is, what need does this tablet meet?
A device like this, it doesn't replace your smartphone. And if you own a laptop, this isn't really going to replace that either.
Peter Rojas runs the blog GDGT.com. He says at best, the iPad is an electronic supplement.
What they're aiming at here is actually people that are considering buying a second computer and would normally be buying a netbook.
Only this device downloads books, like the Kindle. But the lack of a real keyboard and other drawbacks will cut into sales, says ABI research analyst Jeff Orr.
We think that this year there will be around 4 million of these media tablets sold worldwide.
By comparison, Apple sold nearly 9 million iPhones last quarter alone. I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information is at massmutual.com. By Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at microsoft.com/cloud services. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Last night, in his State of the Union, President Obama implored lawmakers not to give up on health care reform. Some fiscal conservatives have called on the president to abandon health care now and focus on cutting the deficit. But Marketplace's economic editor Chris Farrell says that's a contradiction. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Why can't we do both? Set health care aside and work on this deficit.
You know, when you look at those long-term frightening projections about the budget deficit, what's mostly driving it is rising health care costs. Everything else is dwarfed by that problem. So, solve health care, you solve the long-term budget deficit issue.
Now, help me out, Chris. I know Medicare and Medicaid are big budget busters, but private health care spending, does that increase the deficit or does it cut the deficit because that's consumer spending and it creates lots of jobs and taxes?
Look, you know, the healthcare sector is a big job generator. It's also one of the most innovative sectors of our economy. But when you're looking at the budget deficit, Medicare, Medicaid, and that employer tax break on health insurance, you know, that's 60% of what we spend on healthcare. There's a medical industrial complex. It has a lot of bad incentives, and we keep spending more and more.
So the private healthcare complex feeds the public part.
Absolutely.
So these health care bills in the House and Senate, they're supposed to save about $100 billion over a decade. But, Chris, that's not going to cover a trillion-dollar-plus deficit. So doesn't President Obama have to hack away at the deficit whether health care lives or dies?
Sure. And, you know, he wants to take out $100 billion, that's fine. But we're missing the opportunity, Bill, to explain the link between health care reform and the budget deficit. Right now, the budget hawks are saying we can't afford health care reform. It's exactly the opposite. Without health care reform, we have a real budget problem.
Marketplace's economics editor, Chris Farrell, breaking it down. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, 25 years ago, the pop stars of the day recorded a fundraiser for African hunger relief. Now musician Quincy Jones is re-recording it and sending the money to Haiti. The singers this time? Well, that's still a secret. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.